Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Airbnb says U.S. travel demand appears to be slowing, and TSA pre-check enrollment reaches 20 million travelers. Those stories next in the news.
In our Smarter Travelers segment, we talk about selfies. You know, some travelers will take a phone picture featuring themselves just about anywhere, including a lot of places that aren't very safe. We have some selfie-taking guidelines for you at 11:35.
Our friend Steve Ryan, proprietor of a favorite Travel Guys eatery, is checking destinations off his bucket list one at a time. He joins us at 11:35 with some cool stories from his recent travels to Spain and Portugal.
And at 11:50, we take you to Antarctica for an overview of adventures on faraway lands, cross-country skiing, and a wide variety of other options from the land of snow and ice.
Thank you for the pleasure of your company this Saturday morning. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. I've been everywhere, man.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Yeah. Tom's here on the radio in Sacramento and far, far away, all the way to Chicago. You can hear by the buzz of the crowd in the background, Mark is on remote today. Welcome, Mark. Tell us a little bit about where you are, what you're up to.
Thank you, sir. I am in Chicago for the largest coin collector show in the country. It's the annual American Numismatic Association show, so kind of a little hobby sideline of Mark's. I guess if there were any travel guys listeners who needed some coins appraised, why, they could send me a note and I would be happy to help them with it. But nonetheless, lots of really pretty coins on display here in Chicago. Gosh, I feel like I've spent the whole year in Chicago. It's my third visit here in the last 4 months.
Well, yeah, you're starting to feel like a local. Must be kind of nice, you know. It's always fun when you do spend a little bit of extra time in a city far away, and you become more and more familiar. It becomes kind of like a, you know, a home away from home. So anyway, Mark, it's fascinating. You're not only a travel guy, but I guess by all intents and purposes, you're kind of a coin guy too.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's everybody's got their different things that you know, become part of their lives, background, and stuff like that. So before I was a travel guy, I was a coin guy many years ago. So so anyways, in Chicago this week and back in Sacramento, I hope, by midnight tonight.
All right. Well, you know, folks, if you're joining us for the first time, one of the things we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio program is to bring you up to date in the travel news. And with the travel news today, directly from Chicago, here's Mark.
And Tom, we're having a little bit of a technical problem here. I have lost my signal inside the convention center here, so I'm going to ask Caitlin to take a break for us for a minute or two here and give me a chance to reconnoiter up the travel news.
Okay, we'll do that. If you got that, we actually got Emily on the board today. Emily, go ahead and take a break for us here. Give Mark a minute to see if he can get connected. I know the show connection is good, but I would imagine that Mark's entire travel news is sitting on his computer. You know, this is the problem with the digital world. If you lose your connection, you no longer have your news in front of you. And can you imagine, back in the old days, we always had stuff printed out. You could always grab another bunch of paper and go at it. So anyway, we'll be back in just a minute with the travel news. Hey there, live. You can always tell when you're live when things go sideways there. Mark and Tommy, Travel and Entertainment Guys. As we promised, we're going to take another shot. Mark, good luck. Let's do the travel news.
Well,
what do you say?
I think we've got it here now.
Oh, a repeat of the music, too. Why not?
Here we go. Yeah, so let's start
up
over
the
from the top.
There you go.
The Rocky Mountaineer train is offering, let me just go here. The Rocky Mountaineer train is offering a train trip from Moab to Denver. If you are somebody who loves train riding, Rocky Mountaineer has a great experience. They are offering a first-class travel experience next year that starts in Moab, Utah, and lets travelers explore Arches National Park, take an off-road Hummer tour. It also passes through a couple of beautiful Rocky Mountain canyons on its way to Denver, where the ride ends. Southwest Airlines flights now appear on Kayak. For those of you who like the flight shop, this is kind of a big deal. Southwest has not been on Kayak, which is a travel search site where you can compare prices for rooms and airfares and the like. Southwest has never been, their fares have never been available there, but starting this week, they are going to be available on Kayak. So there's a plus for those of you who travel Southwest. Airbnb is reporting shorter lead times. People are making reservations closer to their arrival date, and they're also noting a slowing U.S. travel demand, which is kind of interesting. We've all been talking about, you know, travel's been going through the ceiling here for a long time, but now Airbnb is saying that they're seeing some definite slowing in travel. People are making reservations closer to arrival time, staying fewer days, and making their decisions closer to when they're going to actually travel. United Airlines, if you've flown United for a long time, you know that they had a magazine called Hemispheres that you would always find in the back of the seat pocket. Well, as has happened with many travel publications in the last few years, Hemispheres is going away. United has printed the last copy of Hemispheres news magazine. And our friend Joe Brancatelli tells us that this week there have been nearly 40,000 flight delays around the country, 6,500 cancellations. To give you an idea, that's about twice as many as a normal week. If you were traveling, trying to get to the East Coast, you probably already know about this because most of this has been working around the East Coast, and Hurricane Debbie, which made its way up the coast, is causing delays. And of course, you don't have to be in a place where the hurricane is or where the remnants of the hurricane tropical storm are for it to affect your plane. I'm leaving on a flight out of Chicago this evening. That plane is going to be in Cleveland and Philadelphia and Chicago three times during the day, giving it lots of opportunities to get behind. So make sure if you're traveling, the way the weather is and as fast as the weather can change now, you really have to consider the possibility of tracking your flights. And some websites are better than that. United has a tremendous website for tracking your plane. TSA PreCheck enrollment now has reached 20 million members. The Transportation Security Administration says that they've got their 20 millionth member in late June. And so it continues to be an incredibly popular program. I would tell you, Tom, that in some cases, the lines at the TSA PreCheck are longer than the lines to go through regular security.
Oh, wow. So what does that mean, huh?
Well, it means that more and more people are taking advantage of the Trusted Traveler program. And, of course, people, the TSA line, I would say, moves probably 50 to 75% faster on the average than your typical non-pre-check line. So people there have already been pre-screened. They can leave more things in their suitcase because they've already proven that they're not a high-risk traveler. So it's something to consider. More and more people have done it. There's also another level called Clear, which costs you more money, which is kind of a line cut to regular security or TSA. So there are a lot of different ways to get through the airport. Depends on how much money you want to spend.
You know, you made a good point, though. Even if the line at the pre-check is as long as the regular, you don't have to take off all your stuff. You will move through quicker. So even then, it's still an advantage. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is teaming up with United Airlines. This is kind of a big deal. They are teaming up to measure greenhouse gases and water vapor to provide a more accurate picture of atmospheric chemistry, which is affecting climate change. In other words, how much is jet fuel impacting the climate? And they are working on not only gathering the data, but working on developing biofuels that will power airplanes. And it sounds like, and I won't go through this whole article, but it sounds like as you go through this article that they have made some significant progress towards using fuels that are made completely from plants. So fossil fuels may be a thing of the past. If you are going to Canada, this is something that you should know about. Air Canada pilots could be on strike as of September 17th. We talk about U.S. pilot strikes and how there are a lot of processes that have to go, that have to happen before you can, before one of those groups can strike. In Canada, there is also a process. It's not quite as elaborate, but they have a ballot strike vote set to close later in August. September 17th is the date. So if you have Air Canada flights after 17th of September, you might be taking a close look at that and see about maybe trying to have a plan B somewhere down the road. And finally, last information item I have here in the travel news today, if you're flying to Hawaii, you know that air Wi-Fi service has been really spotty to Hawaii and oftentimes not available. Viasat has activated a new satellite that will allow passengers on most flights between the U.S. and Hawaii to connect to the internet. It affects all Southwest Airlines flights, many operated by Delta and some United and American flights. Hawaiian Airlines is in the process of installing Starlink internet on its planes. But for right now, a lot more planes, including all Southwest flights, are going to have some internet available on the flight. And that, Tom, is your travel news for today.
All right. Boy, you can't drive, fly all that way to Hawaii and be without your Wi-Fi. Those Starlink, I see them in the news all the time. And you know, people who have new cars, you look on your dashboard and you'll see that all of the internet activity is connected to Starlink as well. So anyway, by the way, we are the Travel Guys. Mark is live from Chicago. That's the little buzz here in the background. I'm here in Sacto, where you can run down the road to Rudy's Hideaway and get yourself a lunch or a dinner. And I wanted to remind our Rudy's listeners that they are also famous for their catering department, where they can serve up to anything from burgers to hot dogs to filet mignon and lobster. The great taste of Rudy's can show up right at your doorstep. Or better yet, why not have their gourmet food truck, a Rudy's on the Roll, park right in your driveway or park at your local park. Their food truck specializes in lobster rolls and filet mignon tacos. And don't forget, when you go to the restaurant, you can ask for the Travel Guys special, which is still going on. It's a 6-ounce lobster tail with the fixins for $29.95. Rudy's Hideaway, just off Highway 50 at Hazel. When we come back, we're going to take a tiny break, and we're going to talk about selfies and how it can be a dangerous thing. Next, here on the Travel Guys. Thank you for your time today. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano. By the way, you can follow along with us and get more information to make you a smarter traveler always at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, we've talked about this before. It's been in the news for quite some time. Dangerous activities when people are taking selfies. Let's see if we can help keep them safe.
Well, and its challenge, Tom, is kind of twofold. You have many people who for a living are going places and taking pictures, you know, of themselves with their dinner or their transportation or the people that they've met or a really scenic, beautiful place in the background. The problem is that, of course, as I'm sure some selfie takers out there who are listening right now will agree, is that sometimes you can be putting yourself in a fairly precarious situation in order to get that really gorgeous spot or that perfect background that you're wanting and still get your mug in the photo or that of yourself and perhaps somebody else. And what's happening increasingly, Tom, is that people are putting themselves at incredible risk by choosing locations to take a selfie without looking to see that, you know, they've just stepped 3 feet into traffic or there's only 8 inches behind them and then there's a drop off of 15, 20 feet, something like that. So, I mean, I see this happen on a pretty regular basis when I'm out of the road, people taking selfies in places that they probably Probably shouldn't. But, of course, that's really none of my business unless they fall in front of the road and, you know, there's an accident and we get delayed. Why, you know, if you want to be an idiot, why, then that's sort of up to you. The selfie thing, though, has become a situation where it's really getting out of hand. A teen TikTok star was with a friend. They were out taking selfie pictures and fell at the top of a waterfall. They slipped and fell. The friend got away with minor injuries, but the other teenager was swept away by the current. They're in Australia. They did a little study and decided that it would be worth it from a public safety standpoint to put notices, to post notices that, you know, this is a dangerous selfie spot, or take your selfie here, not there. So it's a situation, I think, where people kind of have to use people who are listening are probably saying, well, gee, you just use common sense. But when folks get out on the road, sometimes common sense goes a little bit to the side. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking about Yosemite National Park, the Grand Canyon. And, you know, the places in these national parks and so forth where they know that there are great places to get photos. A lot of times they will provide you with a certain site and a location for you to be able to walk up and get that perfect shot. And, you know, I would be inclined to take advantage of that first option. But at the same time, people say, well, that's fine, but I don't want to just take a picture. I want to be in the picture, and I want to be in the picture with my arm around my best friend. And then comes the selfie stance.
Yeah, and exactly.
And is in the selfie stance, sometimes you in the process of taking the picture, you kind of forget where you are and what you're doing, and then you kind of get into this world of looking at the picture you're taking, and next thing you know, you can put yourself in a dangerous situation. So you know, I would say I don't think this is a problem that's going to go away overnight.
I don't think so, but I think, and I'm not sure that it's travelers who are not putting themselves in danger's job to protect other travelers, but the idea of some signage that says, you know, selfie spot or something, if there's an area where people tend to do that, I'm with some of the authorities here who are saying that. In February, a gentleman fell 300 feet to his death in Capitol Reef National Park. He was, quote, just 19 years old, was just trying to get a better shot, got very close to the edge of an overlook, and unfortunately missed the step and 300 feet to his death. Our friends at Travelers United have some suggestions for people who are obsessed with taking selfies. You got to use, obviously, a little bit of common sense and intelligence, but here are three basic rules that our Travelers United folks share with us here. Have respect for others is first. It's bad enough to put yourself in danger by taking a selfie. It's pretty much unconscionable to endanger other people. So if you want to put yourself in a bad spot, but before you ask your friend to join you, why, you might want to just reconsider your surroundings. The second one is have respect for wildlife. This is really important. It's a twofold thing. First, be careful not to be hurt by wildlife. You can put yourself in harm's way by trying to get too close, by going over or around an enclosure, ignoring signage. Wild animals don't have cell phones and they don't take selfies. So they're not likely to give you the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, when it might make for a great picture, but it might be the last one that you ever take. The second half of the wildlife thing is to be careful not to hurt them, the wildlife, or to damage their habitat. If you're stamping around in a wildlife area and leaving your footprints, you may change the living patterns of the wildlife around there. So that's something to, you know, travel isn't all about yourself. So self-e. So consider the wildlife and consider what you might be doing. I mean, this is, I think, common sense, but again, the selfie thing sometimes people seem to leave that in the dust. And finally, number three, have respect for yourself. Make sure that if you're that you're in a place that's safe. Tripping, slipping, falling, those are the three most common things. And especially when you're at a height, people tend to forget that, you know, they're 15 feet in the air or they're 12 feet in the air, and you don't have to fall off a waterfall. You can fall over a retaining wall and cause yourself a lot of problems. Those three things, respect for others, respect for wildlife, and respect for yourself when you're taking selfies. If you consider those three things, I think that it will give you some guidelines. At least maybe you won't cross over the line into a dangerous area.
You know, probably, what do they have, one of those statistics? Every 90 seconds, someone is injured in taking a selfie. Or something like that, because it probably happens way more than we realize. Those are some very good points, Mark. I'll take those to heart. Do you take selfies?
I really don't. My business partner Clayton, he takes a lot of selfies, but I've never been a selfie guy. I just kind of take, you know, regular pictures. Hey, listen, as this segment comes to a close, Tom, we should probably remind our friends who are listening to us, I'm live in Chicago for the first half of the program. We cheated just a little bit on you. We taped the back half of the program last night. So you're going to lose the crowd noise. It'll probably be a little bit easier for you to hear. But we got, gosh, Steve has some great stories about Portugal and Spain. And then we have Antarctica coming up for you. So a great second half of the program.
That's all right here as we continue on the travel, guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back after a short timeout, find out what's going on in the news. So keep it here. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Across the UK today, thousands turning out for anti-racist rallies following anti-immigrant riots this week, and that after a fatal knife attack on children in a seaside town. Protesters chanting "refugees are welcome here." The demonstrations organized by Stand Up to Racism, Gary McFarlane with the group.
The majority of people in Britain are for a multicultural society and are against the violence of the racists and the fascists.
The Paris Olympics, U.S. gymnast Jordan Chiles may have to return her bronze medal after a court of arbitration ruling her original fifth place finish, which was upgraded to third after a challenge from her coach. Now that's being challenged by Romania. And the U.S. soccer team edges Brazil 1-0. It's Team USA's fifth women's soccer gold medal. At least 85 people reportedly killed, including children, after Israel launched a new round of airstrikes on a school complex in Gaza. The IDF saying the location was being used as a Hamas headquarters. This is ABC News.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, is always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Links to our special guests and everything to make you a smarter traveler found at TravelGuysRadio.com.
You know, Tom, almost everyone when it comes to travel has a bucket list. Places that they want to go to. Places that before they leave this planet, by golly, they either want to go to or get back to.
Well, and with that being said, we're bringing on our bucket list expert. Was with us some time ago when he took his first bucket list trip, talking about Steve Ryan. Steve, of course, we know Steve from Rudy's Hideaway. Steve, welcome so much to the Travel Guys, and let's talk about your most recent bucket list trip. I think I might have mentioned it a couple of times on the air with Mark when we were talking about the squirt gun incident in Barcelona. Where'd you go? Tell us a little bit about your trip.
Well, first off, you know, thanks so much for voicing my commercials for Rudy's Hideaway and for your customers visiting the Hideaway. But I kind of found next to my dry cleaners, I was thinking about this trip to go to Barcelona for the Spanish Grand Prix. I had been to Monaco, so I looked at the Spanish Grand Prix, and I stopped in next door to my dry cleaners in the town center in El Dorado Hills. The places are called Coastline Travel, dealt with a gal named Logan, and I told her what I wanted. I wanted to fly into Portugal and then over 10 days drive to Barcelona along the coast of Spain. So just on that kind of information, rent the car, you know, in Lisbon, and then, you know, leaving it off in Barcelona, she put together an itinerary for me, and I told her, you know, I didn't want to drive more than 4 hours a day. Started out in Lisbon, and I started out by myself. I was going to meet folks in Barcelona for the race, but I started out by myself. I kind of think of myself as kind of an Anthony Bourdain type. Flew into Lisbon on the 9th. Just so happened on June 10th, they have a Dia de Portugal they celebrate. It's a national holiday. Ended up in the alleys of Portugal with just music and food and singing, and it was just fabulous. It was just an amazing time, and I actually ended up on the far end of Portugal at midnight, got on an electric scooter, and navigated the streets of Portugal, getting back to my hotel. It was just such a fun time, and fun people, and everybody, you know, has a smile on their face. Just, you know, they were just great, and I guess that's the number one destination now, I hear, for Americans, retirees, are all kind of found out about Portugal, great food, inexpensive, you know, you got the ocean. It's really quite the destination.
Steve, one of the things that you went for, perhaps, was a Formula One race?
Yeah, that was the ultimate destination, was Barcelona for the Spanish Grand Prix.
Now, with that being said, when we like I said, we talked a lot about Barcelona on the program because it was in the news. You know, it was it extremely busy, and did you find the locals there welcoming to you? Did there was an incident where locals were squirting people at the outdoor cafes with squirt guns because they weren't really happy with the number of people and perhaps even how they were handling themselves? How did it go for you?
You know, I missed that. That kind of took place after I had left. I did hear of that. And then, you know, gosh, out of all the cities, I would say Barcelona was, I don't know, not as high on my list as the other cities I visited. And we were at a very nice hotel. And after we checked in, the concierge did pull us aside and told us all about the pickpocketing, not to wear watches. Keep everything in your front pockets. Try to keep your hands in your front pocket. And sure enough, we had ordered a cab, and a concierge was nice enough to walk us toward the cab. I had tipped, which in Spain, you usually don't tip, but I tipped when I got there. So when I booked the cab, he actually walked us to the cab. The cab driver was sitting there, and he made the mistake. He got out of his cab on the driver's side to talk to a fellow cabbie just for a minute. And in that minute, the passenger door was left open, and a pickpocket ran while we were just standing there and grabbed his cell phone off the dash that he uses for navigation and was off to the races. I mean, right in front of us. So, I don't know what they've got going, but I think their crime rate is, yeah, and I don't know. I've heard about the tourists and too many, and that sounds kind of sad. But
well, that's a wake-up call.
Yeah, other than that,
any place that you really hadn't expected to go to or something that turned out to be a pleasant surprise along the way?
Well, I visited a couple different places. My first stop was Sevilla. You know, that was just beautiful, and I did a bike tour through the city, and one of the places we stopped was, and I didn't expect this, but we stopped at a square where they used to have the public killings, and the guy was kind of explicit about this during the Inquisition in the 1400s, but depending on what your crime was, there was a preferred way to be killed, and that was where they slashed your neck. And then the next one down was least preferred, was hanging. And then the third one, if you were found guilty of heresy, they burned you at the stake.
A little different so from a modern-day tourist attraction.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Better to be traveling there now. Steve, for our listeners, make them smarter travelers. Any takeaways, any do's or don'ts? We did talk about being safe, but anything else that pops up to say, boy, I sure wouldn't do that again, or this, I would definitely make this a repeat event when I go.
Gosh, you know, other than that incident in Barcelona, there was no don'ts. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better trip. And when I was in Barcelona, they had a celebration. It's called the San Juan. And what that's about is just they celebrate the first day of summer. And everybody's off on Monday. But, yeah, it just seems like, you know, it seems like a people that like to find a reason to party. All very nice, all spoke English for the most part. There was no translation problems, but yeah, I don't. Other than that, the different places I visited were just all amazing. I visited Sitges and Marbella, which is the Beverly Hills of Spain, and the Crown Prince has his yacht there, and he actually has a house on the beach. Well, it's not a house; it's a castle. But no, it was all very eye opening for me, and I had not been through Spain, and I was totally impressed.
Now, Steve, you know, we were talking about anything that you did that, you know, you weren't really planning on. I know you sent me a little text message that there was a concert going on somewhere nearby, and you said, you know, I think I'm going to catch this. How'd that work?
That was on my very first day. Yes, I did mention that. Yes. So, rooftop bar, first night in Barcelona. This gal goes, you here for the concert? I go, which concert? She goes, Bruce Springsteen. So he was playing in Barcelona on a Thursday night and a Saturday night at one of the Olympic stadiums when they hosted the Olympics, which is kind of timely, Barcelona did. 64,000 people, and he played for over 3 hours. And, you know, it's kind of surprising when somebody like, you know, he's doing all the lyrics, of course, in English, and everybody that you see around you is just jumping up and down and know every word to every song, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And yeah, he played two nights there, and yeah, he was just put on a crazy show, and yeah, he was over 3 hours, and it was, yeah, that was, you're right, that I did forget about that part of the story, but that was a real fun evening as well.
All right. Steve Ryan talking about his most recent bucket list. Steve is the proprietor for Rudy's Hideaway, which we mention frequently here on the Travel Guys. Steve, before we let you go, do you have another destination on your list? I know there's two Formula Ones. How about Vegas for the Formula One?
No, not on Vegas. I've actually got a guy, it's called Formula One Experience, and those tickets are very expensive, very expensive. But I think I'm definitely going to visit some other venues. Dubai is a destination that's in December. I might hit that. I have never been to Abu Dhabi, and I hear just wonderful things about that. But yeah, I think I'm going to try to visit you know, these other countries where there is stops, but not Miami or Vegas for Formula One. It would all be outside of the U.S.
Okay. Once again, Steve Ryan joining us here talking about bucket lists. Steve, thanks for being on with the Travel Guys.
Well, thanks for you guys, and keep up the good work.
Darn it, Tom. In addition to being a really good restaurateur, Steve is one heck of a storyteller when he goes on the road, don't you think?
I absolutely do. Well, that's because he's adventuresome. He comes up with unique ideas and things to do. And you're right, he is a good storyteller, probably from spending time in the restaurant and telling stories at the bar. All right.
I imagine so.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, where do we go next?
Well, we're going to go to the continent of Antarctica. We've got a company that specializes in skiing expeditions, which are kind of long and probably not for everybody, but they also do a lot of other fascinating stuff. So we're going to be off to the land of snow and ice.
That's with Nick Lewis when we return right here on the Travel Guys. Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget now, links to our special guest today and all the good stuff to make you a smarter traveler always at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, I know you're an avid skier. That's why you you hunted down this this special guest.
You just lie so bad.
Yeah.
We're sitting here talking before the interview, and Tom is telling me about how he was a skier and all of his old radio buddies and stuff used to go skiing. And I was explaining to Tom, asked me if I skied, and I explained to him that I saw no reason to propel myself down the side of a mountain without any reasonable way of stopping. Plus the fact that on Monday morning after a school ski trip, there was always at least one kid that had plaster of Paris as decorating their body that they didn't have before. However, our guest this morning does business in a very faraway place, and it's all about skiing. And gosh, he'd have a strong argument here because it doesn't sound like this is as much downhill skiing as it is cross-country. Antarctica is where we're talking about, a continent that's covered by a sheet of ice averaging at least a mile thick. It has 90% of the world's ice. And Nick, Lewis, who is from Antarctic Logistics and Expeditions, is going to tell us how you can explore this place in a most unusual way. Nick, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Doing well, Nick. It's so exciting to talk to somebody that, you know, is a little further away than we are, but really enjoys the outdoors. This is very, very interesting what you've got going on. Tell us a little bit about how you started this particular business and what it is that you do.
So Antarctic Logistics and Expeditions, we'll keep that short. We could call it ALE in the company. So we're the most experienced tour operator in the interior of Antarctica. We were founded back in 1985, and the original expedition was for the first two people to go and climb the highest peak in the Antarctic. That was part of the Seven Summits. And after that, we we developed the company. Nowadays, we provide services to scientists doing research down there, to private expeditions. Maybe they're people who want to ski to the South Pole. Maybe they want to go and make a film. And we also take tour groups in as well. Maybe those people want to go and climb the highest peak. Maybe they want to go to the South Pole. Maybe they want to go and sort of see emperor penguins. But we take a variety of groups in every year, about 500 people every season.
Wow. Now, on your press information here, it talks specifically about about a package that you have where folks can ski on the continent.
That's right. This year, we're launching a new experience, and it's called the Antarctic Loppet. And I'll explain the term a bit. It's actually a loppet is a Scandinavian word, and it describes a long-distance cross-country skiing event. And there are many of these events elsewhere in the world, obviously in Norway and Sweden, but we have them also here in North America. And we've never had anything like this in Antarctica before. And there's a long history of cross-country skiing in the Antarctic. The first people to reach the South Pole was a Norwegian team, and skiing was a key element of their success. So we thought it was about time that we create an opportunity to celebrate that and to educate people about the beauty of Antarctica and cross-country skiing there.
Now, obviously, Nick, this is not for everybody. This is not because there's some physicality involved here. And so tell me who takes... who would be a logical candidate for a cross-country ski experience in Antarctica?
Well, obviously, people have done an amount of cross-country skiing elsewhere. They're obvious candidates for it. But so we actually take, you know, all types of people into the Antarctic, and a program like this, we can adjust to people's experience abilities. So this event, we're going to have a series of distances that people can ski. Maybe it's a 10-kilometer sort of distance, 20-kilometer. We will have a 50-kilometer distance as well. And when people aren't taking part in those events, then they're also going to have an opportunity to go and explore some of the surrounding areas. And we take people out to a variety of locations to look at, you know, ice falls, to look at geological features. And they can go on foot, they can go on ski, and we can also transport them in vehicles as well. We like to try and adjust our programs so that, you know, anybody can sort of take part in them. Yeah.
We're talking with Nick Lewis with ALE, our Antarctica Logistics Expeditions. Kind of give us an idea, Nick. Obviously, this isn't a free trip, you know, just for you know, people to come up and you're going to take them out because you want to. There's got to be a cost associated. What are we talking about for pick one?
So the cost for this program, it is $24,000 per person. Now, a lot of people take a sharp intake of breath when they hear that. And our programs, you know, are expensive. And part of the reason for that is getting into the interior of the Antarctic is not a cheap proposition. Having said that, the common comments we get from many of the guests that come in is they all say they think the price is really high beforehand, and afterwards when they're there and then they come out, they can't believe what good value for money it has been. So I'll leave you with that thought.
Definitely a bucket list type item. Nick, let me ask you before we let you go, let me ask you, why? How did you get into this type of, I mean, I'm a tour operator myself, and I go to just slightly more sedate places than you do. How is it that you chose, how did you end up in Antarctica? What is there a quick story behind that?
Many of us in the company, we started working for our respective government national programs in the Antarctic. I used to work for the British Antarctic Survey. Some of my colleagues worked for the US program or the New Zealand program. And, you know, Antarctica is unlike anywhere else on the planet. It has a raw beauty and it is a unique place. I think having worked down there in science, you know, we were all inspired to kind of to take in other people so they could see that, have that experience, see the how beautiful the environment is, and to be educated to it, to its importance in actually protecting the environment there, because it is a you know, a key part of our planet. So yeah, it's one of those places that once you go there, it actually, for many of us, it just alters the course of our lives. And you know, we, you know, even after 30 years of going there now, you know, I'm just as inspired to go there as I was the first time.
Well put. When Mark and I were talking beforehand, I told him, well, you know, I skied a lot, and one of the reasons for skiing wasn't just to race down the hill, was it to be able to go places that you just can't go on foot. And if you can ski, you can get to the top of mountains and see views that you couldn't see anywhere else. And I'm sure that this cross-country trips, you're going to see stuff that very few people are going to get to see.
Absolutely, yeah. The area we operate in the southern Ellsworth Mountains, those are the highest mountains in the Antarctic, and it's stunning. Yeah, it's I it sounds repetitive, but it is unlike anywhere else. I have climbed all over the world, from Alaska to the Himalaya to the Arctic, and there's nothing like the Antarctic Mountains. Yeah, the vastness.
Nick Lewis is with Antarctic Logistics and Expeditions, ALE, he calls it. They are not inexpensive trips, but I know there are people with this on their bucket list, and it sounds like truly an adventure of a lifetime. We will put a link to Nick's company at TravelGuysRadio.com if you would like to get some more information. Nick, thank you very much for telling us a little bit about what I think is probably one of the most unique adventures we've ever talked about on the program. Thank you, my friend.
Mark, Tom, thank you very much. Take care.
What an amazing, amazing adventure that would be if I only had the money. You know, I did a lot of downhill skiing, Heavenly Valley, Squaw Valley, all the places in the Sierras when I was somewhat younger. But I never took on cross-country. I always thought that would be a lot of fun. Here again, the same thing that I mentioned during the interview is when you ski, you have the opportunity to go places that you can't go by foot and see parts of the world that are just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, well, speaking of gorgeous, I have never myself been to Antarctica, but we've taken a couple of expeditions, couple of cruises that have been that have touched the shore there, and it is a remarkable place. I know it's on a lot of people's bucket list. You don't have to go cross-country skiing if you don't want to. There are other ways to see Antarctica, but I agree with Tom. If that's your thing, you have the physical condition and the bucks, what a great vacation that would be.
It would be really fun to actually hunt someone down who's gone on his expedition and visit with them and get their insight. Well, you know, the travel guys, we come up with different kinds of things for different kinds of people, and we'll do our best to continue down that path for our travelers moving forward. So, Mark, it looks like it's time to jump into the mailbag next week. It's been a while since we've done that.
It is, and I've got some good questions from listeners already here, some of which I've already sent answers to. But if you have a question for the Travel Guys, anything to do with travel, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. There's a spot there where you can send us a question, and not only will we try to answer it personally, but if it's a question that we think has general interest, it might end up on the mailbag. That will be next week here on the Travel Guys. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends, you stay well. We'll see you next time for the Travel and Entertainment Guys, 11 a.m. Saturdays, right here on the radio. It's the time to turn around.